Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Fly when we don't know the way of the wind. His power at work in us, changing everything. Oh,
in obedience.
So how can we walk if we don't know the way of the wind? How can we run if we don't know the way of the Spirit? How can we fly if we don't know the way of the wind? The power's walking us, changing everything in our lives. Is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Living God? Is the Holy Ghost, the Scepter of the King of Kings? Is the Holy Ghost, the Seal of the Age to Come? Changing in our life,
in obedience to
God. He's the Holy Ghost,
he's the Holy Ghost,
the Spirit of the Living God.
Yeah. He's the Holy Ghost,
the Scepter of the King.
He's the
Holy Ghost, changing everything in my life. You are changing everything in our hearts. You are changing everything in my life. You are changing everything in our hearts. Holy Spirit of the Lord, you are the one that changes everything. We put our hands in your hands again tonight. Lead us in the way that will profit your kingdom, the way that will profit our lives. Bring us to understanding. We have swallowed our pride. We have come to the school of the Spirit. And now we know in your hands are the keys of eternal life. It leads to heaven and it leads to death until the day will that walk changing in my life.
Changing
everything in my life.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, we have worshiped.
Thank you tonight, Lord. Grant us utterance and speed
In Jesus' name. Amen. We may have our seats. Pleasure. Pastor Thompson, it's nice seeing you again. If I tell you the story of Pastor Thompson, I knew him before many of us here knew him. And I still remember vividly the first day I knew him. I think I was in part two in school those days. And they came to me. And I want to appreciate God seeing you here tonight. Jeremiah chapter 29. I read from verse 24 downwards. Thus shalt thou also speak to Shemaiah the Naamathite, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, Because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, The Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that it should be officers in the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad, and that makes himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prison and in stocks. Okay, you like the story? Huh? You read it yesterday? Okay, I'm in the spirit. Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which makes himself a prophet to you? Now therefore, he sent to us in Babylon, saying, The captivity is long, build you houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. And amazingly, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Send to all of them of the captives, saying, Thus said the Lord, because Shemaiah had prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus said the Lord, Behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Naamathite and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among these people, neither shall he behold the good that I would do for my people, said the Lord, because he had taught rebellion against the Lord. Simple first thought I want you to discover there is that authentic priesthood has a way of driving out madness and falsehood. That's its original purpose. They had such power to curtail error. And we thank God for this priest, because they were trying to instigate him against the prophet. But he had enough understanding to know that this one that is speaking is of God. So the Bible says he took the same letter to Jeremiah. He didn't act on what somebody wrote to him, because he had capacity to discern that what Jeremiah is saying. So we can't speak about priesthood when we don't speak about discernment. Because the work of the priest is to halt certain things, so that there will not be false representations in the house of God that will speak like God. And that is why the enemy is always desirous to trap the manifestation of true priesthood. Because if it manifests in our midst, we can discern. Because there are too many people that come in the name of God and they are not of God. We can drive out the mad people. A lot of people just think anything that flashes through their mind that is erratic is spiritual. We need to put some people where they belong. You know, even Paul said, concerning some people, he said, whose mouths must be stopped. We don't just speak in church. We speak and we know who to shut up. When we have proper apostolic power operating in our community, we even have the capacity to set up people that they know who not to listen to. And it's not about saying, don't listen to that person. It's because there will be so much build up inside of people that they can shut down some things. So some of the arguments you are seeing on social media, it's because many of us are untaught. And it's because true priesthood is not revealed in our midst. For example, in the book of 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16 to 23, 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16 to 23, there was this king that did so well in Israel. His name is Uzziah. In his days, he made so much of inventions. He built civilizations, engines that were not even existing for those days. And the Bible told us there that when he became strong, his heart was lifted up. And he transgressed against the Lord. He went into the temple of God to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And the priest went after him. He was a king. He had a good record. But he was venturing into something that was not right. And the priests were built and authorized by God to go after him and say, no, that will not happen. But you know, maybe we should read their story. Verse 17. Give us verse 17, the next verse. And Azariah the priest went in after him with a fourscore priests of the Lord. They were valiant men. They don't talk about priests and you want to be lily, but you're talking about priesthood. Because there's no time you resist what is not of God that there won't be reaction. That's why priests must be valiant people. That's how God separated the tribes of Levi. Because they stood for something. They withstood Uzziah the king. Someone said they withstood Uzziah the king. Oh my God. Most of us immediately we see something. Even if we don't believe, we have to just crack and confirm. They withstood and said to him, it does not appertain to you, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the son of Aaron. They are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be to thy honor from the Lord God. Next verse. And Uzziah was wroth. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy rose up from his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Yeah. And Azariah the chief and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence, and yea, he himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. They withstood the king and said, no, that's not right. And because the enemy know that the sanctification and the purity of God's house is built around this understanding, he wants to corrupt the priesthood itself. The priesthood itself, when it's corrupted, it will spill over into the kingdom. And I'm giving us a parable. Because tonight I want to talk to us about the authentic priest, the authentic priesthood or something like that. You know, there is something in normal proverb, or English proverb, they say, the hood does not make the monk. I came out from a church when I was young that when you are going to the altar to take the communion, everybody is born again. The man would do like this. I never thought, some of you already know the place. There was these guys that walk on the altar in the church. I used to think that they are so sanctified until some of them became my friends. And I discovered they were just pure rascals. There were so many of them that were just pure rascals. In fact, my life was better than them. Even as an unbeliever, I knew that was better than them. You know? So, now, just using that as an allegory to tell us that the enemy likes to corrupt the priesthood. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. He said, the prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means. That is, they bear rule by, I prefer the version if you have it. The priests bear rule by their means, and my people love, the priests rule at their own, and so this is amplified. Do you have the New King James Version? Thank you. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so, but what will you do in the end? The priests rule by their own power. Maybe I should give you another one. Micah chapter 3 verse 10 and 11. The book of Micah chapter 3 verse 10 and 11. That's why God must restore authentic priesthood to the church, because there is something he does for us. Who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity? Verse 11. I ate judge for a bride. Our priests teach for a pay. Our prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, it's not the Lord among us. No harm shall come upon us. We got it all wrong, but we want to get the right result. We want to assume spiritual things without understanding what God is communicating by those things, and we want God to authenticize it. It doesn't work. When we talk about priesthood, we must get into the very heart of God for it. What is God's mindset about this thing? We can't just assume because something fancies us or drives our passion to think that immediately we follow that passion, then God must put his signature on it. It doesn't work like that with God. The priest can't teach for pay and prophet divine for money and begin to say it's the Lord and not among us. The Lord will work for us. It doesn't work like that. The enemy likes to trap the priesthood. In the days of that king of Israel, who God used to break and cause a rebellion against Solomon. They call him Jeroboam. One of the first things he did is to raise people to be priests who were not priests. He generated some support system for him, but violated some things in the spirit. He made people who are not priests to be priests. And everybody just began to imagine, okay, this. In fact, the Bible said at the point, they used to consecrate anybody that has the biggest money. One of the greatest problems we have in the 21st century church is because we don't even know what really gives authority. When anybody wants to talk, they say, where is your result? I was in a pastor's meeting recently, and I was charging, and I was talking about the 500 years anniversary of the Reformation. And in the midst of it, one of the pastors said, if this is what we are coming to do here, I will not come for this meeting again. He said, I'm not here to debate doctrine. I'm not interested. I'm not here to debate doctrine. I'm here. Tell me what I can do with my work that can make my work speak. Now, the man of God has a way of speaking to me. He'll say, man of God, what you need, in Yoruba we call it, microphone agbaye le need. I said, you know what microphone agbaye is? It's money. He said, you already have the message. You need the platform. And so when we sit down, what we want to discuss is how do we enhance the platform. So if we sit down, we are talking about, let's check this issue of soul or spirit. Which one? Say, I'm not here for that. I'm fixed. But if you are not here for that, you don't understand what priesthood is about. That's what this is about. So that we can put in stocks what is not of God. Put this one, it won't prosper again. Just shut it down. And enhance what God has given power to. Are we together, church? So let's look at the story of that man. Let's look first at 2 Chronicles 11, verse 13 to 17. So if I talk to you today, I said, are you priests? How many of us are kings and priests with God? Now, do you understand what it means? Because for some of us, it's an assumption. You can't get the strength of priesthood because you assume you are one. It's because you know you are one. There's a difference between assuming that you are one and knowing that you are. Because if you assume, if somebody comes to impersonate this thing, and there are some of us here, how do we know when a man is speaking from God? When he's talking and nobody understands. Pastor, I've seen so many strange things. Some people say, I don't understand what they're saying in that meeting, but that's the type of meeting I want to go. Some people are so tired of understanding. They are looking for confusion. I have a message for you. God is not the author of confusion. Anything that is not bringing understanding, finally, is not God. I didn't say that. The Bible said, I know you like it. Just want to masturbate in your mind. Have a feeling that you are pushing. Sometimes we just like a feeling that we are pushing. God doesn't just want us to have a feeling that we're pushing. God wants us to lay hold and touch something and say, this is it. That's how we can operate the priesthood. We can move and even determine destiny of nations. Because we are not imagining. We know what we believe. We know who we are. It can be identified. It can be known. It can be operated. Praise the Lord. Let's look at that 2 Chronicles 13, verse 2 Chronicles 11 from verse 13 to 17. And from all the territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took their stand with him. That's with Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. For the Levites left their common lands and their possession, came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons have rejected them from serving as priests to the Lord. Then he appointed for himself priests for the high places, for the demons. So they are priests for demons. And the carved idols which he had made. And after the Levites left, those from all of the tribes of Israel, such as said they are out to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Verse 17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong for 3 years, because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. So two things were happening. On one side of the kingdom, they were making people that were not priests. And so what that did is that there was a migration of the original priests. They had to find where God will put his hand. But in some other place, they created a system that looked so much like what was happening here, but God was not there. They made anybody priest. And today we are in a generation where, I'm sorry, sometimes anybody can rise up and think God calls him. It's not, God can call anybody. And I will show you tonight that this priesthood is free. But it does not mean it does not have his order or his structure. It's free. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, so it becomes so free. Everybody said, God, you know, when I was in school, everybody had vision. They said, God called me to dance. God called me to be a choreographer. God called me to. God called all of us to be anything. But if God called you to carry this table, it will demand consecration from you. You can't do anything for God that will not rearrange your life. Except it's not God. It's going to be greater than your passion and your feeling and your desire. Are we together? It's a call of God. I don't know whether you are following me tonight. So they met so many people. Let's look at chapter 13 from verse 9 to 12. Chapter 13 from verse 9 to 12. Look at what Abijah, one of the grandsons of David, said. Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, the Levites, and made for yourself priests like people of other land, so that whosoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of the things that are not gods? And some people just think, if you can buy a microphone. I remember, as we used to say, some bought microphones and themselves. And they think if the microphone is sounding well, they have a message. Whosoever comes with a bull, say, this one looks like priest. This one is sounding. But as for all, the Lord is our God. We have not forsaken him. The priests who minister to the Lord are the sons of Aaron. And the Levites attend to their duties. They burn to the Lord every morning and every evening, burnt sacrifice and sweet incense. They also set the shewbread in order on the table, goat table, and the lampstand of gold with its lamp they burn every evening. For we keep the command of the Lord our God, but you are forsaken it. Now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priest with sounding trumpet to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. Now, they said, on our side, we still have God and we have his priests. We know who we are following. We are not just raising just anything. Now, when we speak about priesthood, I don't want us to go out of this house with just any idea. I want us to go out of this house with the authentic idea. Because it's when you have what God has ordained that you can have God by your side. And it's when you have God by your side that you can bring forth what God wants to accomplish. Are we together? The Bible said the day is going to come that some people will kill you and they will think they are serving God. Thinking you are serving God can never replace serving God. You don't get it. Serving God is serving God. Okay, maybe that's a good place to preach to your neighbor. Say, serving God is serving God. So it's time to just get it once and for all. Say, Morope. You know what I'm saying? Or you just think like, I have one deep breath. This deep breath has called me. I wish Rev calls people. You need more than Rev. It's going to pull everything about your life. And I need to speak in this dimension. I don't know why I'm starting out like that. I never really wanted to preach tonight. And this is not Ogi. This is me. When pastor told me, I said, I wanted to go and sleep. He knows that I've had a long week. A very strange one. But it's beautiful. It's a beautiful week. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the book of Hebrews so that we can understand our own priests and our own authentic priesthood so that we can say God is with us. And when we know God is with us, we can move against anything that comes at us. Hallelujah. Is somebody still blessed there? Okay, Hebrews 10 verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and the living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let's draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. If you have Jesus as your high priest, what he should birth in you is full assurance. We should know that what we are doing here tonight is touching the throne of God. There should be no ambiguity in our mind about it. You don't get it. Look at what Abijah said there. He said, you have priests with you. He said, but with us, we still have the sons of Aaron. So we can bank and say without even hearing from any other place that God is going to stand on our side. There is a true assurance. So, except you don't know the priesthood that you are under, then, because if you don't know, you can't have the assurance. And there are too many Christians who don't know whether they're even Christians or Judaists. Whether they are Judaists or they are... Some people don't even know whether they are saved. I've seen a lot of people say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Me, I'm saved. You can be getting confused. Me. Let me even tell you, my own name. They are not considering to write my name in the book of life. It's there. Because I saw Paul talk to people in the book of Philippians. He said, mention two names. He said, whose names are in the book of life? And I asked myself, did God show him? No, because he knows by understanding that when people receive Christ, they have life. Simple. So, is your name in the book of life? If they ask you and you are tormented, you don't understand yourself. My name is a book of life. It's just there. Is your name? That is a message for evangelism. Crusade for people who don't know. If I sing it here and you are thinking, you need to come out for altar call. Just set it once and for all. Is your name in the book? I'm not sure. I can stop the service. I say, come on. And listen, we get it done. No. It doesn't take so much. He said, how do you know? Because he never breaks his word. Are we together? Let's draw to God with full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who is promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. So what priesthood do we stand in? How do we know we are operating the authentic priesthood? Hebrews chapter 8 from verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. The things Pastor Ogi said. Pastor Shea has been saying. Pastor Belo has been saying. Everybody has been saying. This is the main point. We have such a high priest. Somebody say, we have. We are not trying to have. We have. Now, as I'm talking to you, we have an high priest. Yes? Who is seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. Yes? A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. We are establishing clear details on things that are not debatable. Are we together? Some people say we have not entered the real sanctuary. We have a minister in the true tabernacle. He's not planning to enter. He's there. And that's who we follow. Boldly. We are priests, isn't it? We have a tabernacle we operate in. If you don't know how to disconnect from sight, seeing, what you touch, you can't operate this priesthood. We walk in these courts, but it's not physical. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we are not trying to imagine. It's real. We can touch and agree here and be bringing from the very throne of God. Now. Not tomorrow. Now. Why? Because we have such an high priest seated. And for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Yes? For if he were on heart, he would not be a priest. Since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now, that means that that pattern already existed before the one that was built on earth. So don't mistake it and say we are trying to. God is, what God brought in Christ was already finished. It is what was built on earth that was in building. If it was not finished, then it cannot be the pattern of what is to be built. He saw the finished work. Are we together? Now we have come to the finished work. Now we are trying to finish it again. Are you still following? Okay, some people are already saying, what's that? But now, he has obtained a... Somebody say now. But now, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. That these are living realities now. Are we together? Let's look at Hebrews 9. I'll just read scriptures for us, then I can tie up this night. I'm going somewhere. Hebrews 9 from verse 1. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For the tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which are the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid with all sides with gold, in which are the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that bordered the tablets of the covenant. And above it was a cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But in the second part, the high priest went alone once in a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest when the first tabernacle was still standing. Number one, immediately the first, now let me tell you, the first tabernacle is not standing anymore, isn't it? So the way to the holiest of all has now been made open. The tabernacle was a calendar. The veil you see there, that is Jesus manifested in the flesh, which was going to cover the glory. Because he came into in the midst of it, he became flesh and dwelt among his people and tabernacled. But they beheld him, he was full of grace and truth, but they did not know him. The flesh was the veil that needed to be broken. Immediately the flesh was broken on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn. The glory came out. So I said, I'm looking for glory. You can't have Jesus and not have glory. He has called you to inherit glory. Do you understand? In you is the hope of glory. Glory is not alien to you. Glory is your inheritance. Except you have not found him. Because in him the veil was torn. Are we together? It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifice were offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Verse 10. Concerned only with food and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. But Christ came as an high priest of good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not with made design, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and cows, but with his own blood, he entered into the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkled of unclean, sanctified for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, for this reason is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life. Let's go to verse 23. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. Christ has not entered into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. Somebody said Christ has entered into heaven itself. Now, you remember that when Uzziah wanted to enter, that king, he was venturing into something that he didn't have a right to venture into. They pulled him out. Now, Christ has not just entered into types and shadows of God. Christ has come to the very presence of God. Are we together? Which are copies of the, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I'm going to talk to you in the midst of this meeting about the glory behind the veil or something like that. I've forgotten what I timed. But when Jesus is speaking, he speaks from being there. He's not speaking as though he's going there. He looks like man and says, you are forgiven. He said, is this man God? People, the priest will have to first approach God. He comes from God and said, this is what God is saying. You are forgiven. Say priesthood. That's why you go outside and tell people, when you get born again, you have eternal life. Now, those are things that in the whole, they could not be spoken with all certainty. Because they were going into, and they were not even sure whether they would be accepted. But now it's accepted. You go with the hope and preach. That's why we preach the gospel. You can't talk to me that you are a priest and you are not preaching the gospel. That's how we walk in our own tabernacle. When we are preaching, we are walking the tabernacle. We are bringing justification. Bringing the things of the presence of God to the world. We are saying joy to the world. Peace from God. Peace from heaven. Because the Son of God has come. You are bringing that which is happening in the innermost of God's temple. On the face of the earth. That is what... See, what I'm trying to talk to us tonight, that priesthood is not a spooky thing. It's not that... I have to look into the sky. I want to be a priest now. It's our life. We are walking in it. In the very tabernacle of God. And I'm still going to tell us through. Now that he should enter, for they would have suffered often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the age, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As appointed for men to die once, but after that judgment, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Now, there's so much there, but not for tonight. Are you following me? Are you sure? Now, I want you to know that
Where I started from is that the priest was put in the temple to pull down anybody who assumes he's something that he's not. Now, Jesus is not from the tribe of Levi. The Bible told us that if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. So you see that Jesus is the greatest fraud or is the greatest truth? That's the truth. If he was on earth, he would have been the one the priest would have followed and dragged out. Because there was something very high about the priesthood. Few things. Number one, the dressing. I will just give us scripture. For example, they said, you are going to make unique dress for Aaron and his sons. For beauty and for glory. Number one, if the first thing is the calling itself. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 to 6 said, no man put this honor upon himself except he that is called. It's an exclusive thing. The calling is not an assumption. Say, I'm a priest of God. I'm a priest of God. Are you assuming or you know? Because no man, number two, no man can put on those garments. It is for Aaron and his sons. God had to tell them to make specific garments for Aaron and his sons. You see that in Exodus 28, 31 to 43. The oil. Exodus 30, 22 to 33. God told them how to compose the holy anointing oil. And he said it must not fall upon the skin of common man. He said this one is for priests. Don't assume. Don't just say, I am this. The call, the garment, the oil, the service. Because into the first part of the tabernacle, when the priest only to do the services, not anybody could go into it. Even the appearance before the Lord. Leviticus 16, 1 to 7, God told Moses, tell Aaron that I've called him now, does not mean nonsense. Tell him not to be appearing before me every time, all his children. Except once in a year. Even the appearance. Meaning that you cannot operate priesthood by assumption. You must have settled these things. You must have settled the validity of the call of it. The validity of the anointing of it. Are we together? Even the incense they burn. Sir, even to the shoe bread they eat. None was for common man. So, are we sure? And Jesus said, we are priests. Engraved upon their garment is holiness to the Lord. Because when you get into the presence of God, there are things you will see there. As recorded in Isaiah 6, 1 to 3, when Isaiah saw it, he heard the word holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, the same thing. You can't tell me you are walking in the presence of God. There must be a resonation. There must be holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord is the priest.
Okay.
You didn't get it. The Lord is holy. The holiness, that is the giving to the Lord, is the priest. There must be a resonation. That's where it's called, you must be holy as your God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? There must be. So when you are coming, you are hearing holy, holy, holy. Then what is coming out of you is called holy. That's when you can come. Do you get the picture? It's not. It's because every time you visit his presence, you are going to hear holy, holy, holy. When you come and you are not holy, you just cut off. Are you following? So the priest is holiness to the Lord. The Lord is holy. And so the Bible spoke to us about this, our priest. Look at Hebrews 7 from verse 20. This is our priest. So, I want you to just have faith confessions of priesthood. We are priests. We are priests. Yes, we are. But that which is coming out from the throne room, does it have any reflection in who you are? You understand what I'm saying? The priest is the holiness coming out into the tabernacle. The voice is the holiness coming out from the throne. And they meet. And that's why it's accepted. So when we say we are holy, look at Hebrews 7:20. Inasmuch as it was not made a priest talking about Jesus without an oath. Maybe we should read this gently. For they have become priests without oath. But he who eat an oath by him who said unto him, the Lord has sworn. Number one, Jesus was spoken to. He was called. The Lord said to him, the Lord has sworn, will not relent. You are a priest. Jesus would not have been a priest if he was not called. Because no man can put that honor upon himself except he that is called. So we have to trace, where did the calling happen? The Lord sworn, thou art a priest. The reason why we can't put the ministry of Jesus in stocks is because he's not a madman. Christianity might be strange to you, but it's not mad. It's valid. Trace it under every legal process. It's a valid truth. Sanctification is valid. Justification is valid. They are not assumptions of human mind. Forgiveness is valid. God does not just say, how can you say he has forgiven me? He has paid the price. That's why he said it. There is a reason why God makes proclamations. Look at it. You are a priest forever. He will not relent of the order of Melchizedek. That's for another one. Verse 22. By so much, Jesus had become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, the word harmless is innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners. He has become higher than the heavens. These are the descriptions of Jesus. He was well looked into. He does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin and for his own people. For this he did once and for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints priests who have weaknesses, but the word of the host, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. So, did you see he was appointed by the word of the host? Now listen. So Jesus did not assume. He didn't put on the toga of a righteous man to think that he is a valid priest. Or else, like Azariah, what would have broken from the presence of God against him would have been a rejection. Are you following me? Now, where do we come into this? Now, since we have validated the fact that Jesus is a priest validly, by the call, by the honor that God placed upon him, by the oath, how did we come? Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 and 6, that he now made us kings and priests. This is where we come in. This is where our own priesthood is not invalid. They will say, who made you? Because the sense of call must be validated. That's why every time you hear in the New Testament, you will hear the word made priests. Not assumed. Not even attained. It is first, he made us. He chose us. You must understand and look at those processes. You must find his making, his choice in your life. Those are the things that validate the fact that you are a priest. It has nothing to do, first and foremost, with what you are doing or what you are not doing. Like Levi was called, so is Jesus called by the Father. And so are we called. Those processes must be in every priest for it to be valid. Are you following me? Or else we put you in the stuff. Are you made or you made yourself? Are we together? Look at Revelation 1:5 and say, He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. In 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 4, He said, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, then verse 9. This is who we are. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God. Somebody say, chosen by God. Do you know why I'm not afraid to be a priest? I can't be cut off from the presence of God because I'm chosen by God to come there. You didn't get it. I'm not negotiating with God with a big grammar, a big revelation. I got there because He called me there. When I come with incense, with prayers, and I'm going to God, I'm coming on the basis that I'm chosen. Every priesthood that comes from God must obey these principles. It's not about one man putting on the hood and saying, are we together? Look at it. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected in the of men, but chosen by God and precious. Verse 5. You are built up as living stones. You also are, as living stones, are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Why was Jesus Christ accepted? Because the Father Himself, even the garment He wore, which was His flesh, was prepared. Thou hast prepared a body. It was like when they were preparing garment for Aaron. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything God looked at, even His resurrected body was prepared. You are going to see the man Christ Jesus sitting on the throne, because He's going to have the form of man, yet He's God Almighty. A body has thou prepared for me. It's a valid entrance into the very presence of God. Are we together? So that even when we ourselves are going to step into that very presence, in reality, this body that we carry will be transformed. It's like when you wear the garment for Aaron and his sons, there's going to be a transformation for beauty and for glory. That's why I believe tonight God is going to visit your body. Amen. For beauty and for glory. Whatsoever does not beautify God, whatsoever does not glorify His work, will be cut off from it. Because you are God's own, you are His temple. The garment itself must be for beauty and glory. Let's look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you. Somebody say, called you. Out of darkness into His marvelous light. The first light I'm trying to leave with us tonight is, this is how we come into our priesthood. We understand that we are called out of something. Stop struggling, trying to be it. Just first respond to the call. Hear the voice of Jesus and come to Him. Are we together? Then you will have boldness by the new and living way, which is consecrated. Most of us are looking for another way. There's no... Uzziah was so great. Then he went to the God, presence of God. You don't go into the presence of God because you are good. That's why leprosy broke out. That's why self works cut off people. People come because they are called. And it's time for us tonight to rejoice in the fact that we are called and chosen. Because that's what gives us rights to tread the tabernacle of God. Now, it is free, but it is not less indicative of His value. Now, all the things I showed you about Aaron, the fact that nobody put His anointing, the anointing cannot come upon any flesh, is still true, but yet it has been given. But the essence and the value should not be less. So when you celebrate the anointing of God upon your life, you celebrate it because you are chosen, but you know that it's not just for common man, it is for chosen men. Do you understand? So all the elements that those things represent, they are still with us. We still honor the prayers of saints. The incense is not common. That's where when two or three of you will touch and agree upon a thing, it shall be done of my father. That's why the Bible says we should not forsake the gathering of the assembly of saints. These things are still valid. We still place the same honor on them, yet they have been made available to all of us. This is the challenge of New Testament priesthood. These things are available to all of us, but do we still place the same value? Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. He's still crying. It is written in Leviticus, thou shalt be holy unto the you shall be holy as the Lord your God is holy. It is written in 1 Peter, you shall be holy. Do we place that essence? Do we claim only we are the righteousness of God, but we do not allow the holiness, the fact that we have been pulled out, separated from this world, to reflect? Did you get what I'm trying to say? These principles are still here, yet the acceptance has been given to all. That's why when the priests go, even the ones that are called, because I tell them not to come anyhow. But when they want to come, let them call boldly by the blood. So tonight we celebrate nothing else than the blood. You didn't get what I'm just saying? I've just come to talk to you to celebrate the blood. To celebrate His choice. Stop struggling in your wits. Celebrate His righteousness. Stop the struggle of self-righteousness. Celebrate His call. Stop the struggle of, look at me, He saw you. He saw you. Somebody be on the keyboard for me. He saw you and He called you. Are we together? We are. So that's why when people say, you are assuming, they want to put something in your journey and put your feet in the stocks. I said, don't walk again. This is an assumption. He said, no. I have walked through the process. I know who I believe. I know whom I believe. And I know that everything I've committed to His hand. I'm not just assuming, no. I'm called out of darkness. I was once in darkness. But He said, come. I came boldly because He said, come. I pray for the sick, not because I think I'm superior than any person, but because He said, come. And the anointing upon me is not come. I still place value upon it. That's why I carry my vessel with sanctification. I carry it consciously. I still don't play less value on it. Much more now that I'm not even the one that paid it. Someone else paid it for me. Jesus did it. Do you understand all I'm trying to say to you? And when you begin to value and put that value on it, then you walk through the tabernacle boldly, yet in consecration, yet in the fear of the Lord. Lift your hands tonight. We come boldly to Him, yet we fear Him. Yes, we hope. Somebody honor the Lord tonight. Somebody honor the Lord tonight. Somebody honor this Lord tonight. We are not assuming that we are worshiping the living God. We have seen His face. He has called us. Hallelujah. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He will never leave me. No matter where I go, He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Hallelujah. Why should I be a copy and a lie when the pathway to being true has been made? Why should I be forming priesthood as if when I can be a true priest? When I can be called?
when I can be accepted, when I can be decked in His beauty and His glory. Why should tonight is a night to reject all disobedience. It's a night to reject all falsehood. The truth has come. The truth has come. Say, Father, tonight we embrace what you have called us to be. We walk in the boldness of it. We pray and you answer us. We pray and you answer us. We go to the world and you back us. You confirm our word with signs and wonders following. Thank you tonight. Why should I lie? Because I'm when the truth has been made available. Thank you, Jesus. The truth has been made available. Yato da ba 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 ba. He sees each tear that falls and he hears. Lift it up one more time. Lift it up. Somebody shout and praise him. He knows my name. Hallelujah. He knows my name. Nah. He knows. Lift your voice and praise him. He's called you. Lift your voice and praise him. Reshatobaratabolotabaya. He knows my name. Nando lobo sia tabarada, bando lobo kayaba. My head. He sees each tear that falls, and he asks me when. Now tonight, I leave you with one. Uzziah walked into the presence of God as a king, boldly, thinking he was somebody. He was sent out. Now that we have been accepted, we are the ones walking with and drawing back. We are not of them that draw back. We are of them that believe unto the salvation of the soul. Somebody press it to God tonight. Talk to God about something tonight. Talk to God about somebody tonight. Talk to God about your family. Talk to God about your destiny. Somebody talk boldly to God. There's no assumption here. You are not an impostor. You are not an impostor. You are a priest of the living God. He has made you kings and priests unto the Lord your God. Somebody talk to God about your academics. Somebody talk to God about your future. Somebody talk to God about your fears. And say, take it from me. Take it from me. Be glorified. Be glorified. My God, be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No drawing back. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, I have access into the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I know it's a holy anointing oil. It can't fall on anybody. But I have been called. Somebody said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Oh, He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. Yes, that is what preaching is about. Somebody with boldness, pray for the sick. Somebody with boldness, you are not an impostor. You are not a liar. You are only testifying to the truth of the covenant. You are testifying to the truth of the covenant. Give Him praise.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.